Thanks so much, Ryan. Good morning, everyone. Such an honor to be here this morning and to speak to all of our sites. Actually, this talk is going across all of the sites at CFC this morning and also down to Cafe. You're really welcome in Cafe Church, and also anyone joining online, my mum and dad being two of them. It's great to be here. It's interesting that Ryan spoke last week about the person of the Spirit. And we're going to hear lots about the Holy Spirit again today and over the next number of weeks. But it's important not to miss that when Jesus introduces the fact that when he goes, someone else of the same substance as him will come, the allos parakletos, as Ryan talked about last week, the person of the Spirit, that he is introduced to us as the Comforter. That is how Jesus Christ introduces the Spirit to us, the Comforter. And so we will hear this morning about the power of the Spirit, the dunamis. We will hear about the amazing things that happen when the Spirit shows up and all of that stuff that we will get to. But it's important that we preface this morning with the presence of the Spirit, the person of the Spirit as Comforter. And so, Holy Spirit, as we begin to seek you this morning, listen to you this morning, be guided by you this morning, read about how you interact with us as part of your creation this morning, we thank you that you are present with us as the Comforter, the one who can guide us into truth, can lead us into good path, can lead us into righteousness, can lead us into mercy, can lead us into love, can reveal to us the heart of the Father. And so guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will, of course, not let the moment pass us by where Ryan shamelessly got you all to take a picture of him. I also love it when Neil prayed, he prayed that that the Lord knows every hair on our head. I always think I do the Lord a favor with that, don't I? I make his job just that little bit easier. When he has to count my follicles. I get to speak about one of our key values here at CFC, one of our core values, and that is that we believe in an obvious ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are a charismatic church, and that means that we believe in the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit and their full operation in the church and for the world today. We believe that the Spirit at Pentecost, which you looked at a few weeks ago, was poured out on all people. All people, male, female, old and young, and a powerful, present person of the Spirit then reveals Christ to us, lives in us, and enables us to become more like Christ in our lives. The Holy Spirit plays a major role in our salvation and what we call our sanctification, our coming to Christ's salvation and our sanctification, our becoming more like Christ. We even discovered that in our 1 Peter series in recent weeks, where in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, he writes, "The Spirit himself sanctifies us, makes us holy, for obedience to Jesus Christ." And so the Holy Spirit is involved in our sanctification and our salvation. And as we continue to look in the Holy Spirit in this series, we want to focus on what is often referred to as the baptism of the Spirit. And we want to navigate our way through that topic this morning with the help of three B's. We're going to look at the beginning. We're then going to focus in on the baptism. And then we're going to look at the building. What is the point of it? The building. We're going to look at beginning, baptism, and building. As I said earlier, one of our values at CFC is an obvious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we value that, we would say, because the Spirit has always been obvious. Right from the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and was void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God is there at creation, really upfront and obvious, a creative spirit in the beginning. And what we continue to see with the Spirit, the breath, or what's called in the Hebrew, the ruach of God, the wind blowing, interacting with humanity, not just with creation at the beginning, but let's just chart our way through the Old Testament and see how the Spirit has been obvious. As we do that, can I ask you to pay particular attention to the language used about how the Spirit interacts with us as humanity? Pay attention to the language, because that's going to be helpful when we get to the next part of the talk, the baptism. The beginning is going to link to the baptism. So pay attention to the language. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 3, we read that the Spirit filled Bezalel. He was called and filled. This guy Bezalel was called and filled with the Spirit, filled with wisdom and understanding to design, to craft, to create, to work with materials that were used to build the temple. So the Holy Spirit fills Bezalel for this purpose that he has to do. In Numbers chapter 11, then, the language is this, that the Spirit comes upon 70 of the elders of the children of Israel, and they were to prophesy into a particular situation, and then the Spirit comes on another two as well, Eldad and Medad, just for good measure. And so you've got these 70 and 72 elders prophesying in this situation that the Spirit has come upon them for to do. And then in Judges 3, we read of the Spirit also coming on Othniel and enabling him to judge well, to bring wisdom. And we see this also with Deborah as judge in Israel and Huldah as prophetess in 2 Kings 22. We also see similar language surrounding David's anointing as king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Spirit comes upon David, but also the word can be translated into David or towards David. This is Isaiah's experience also, where the Spirit comes into or toward him. And then just for time's sake, we're going to finish with Ezekiel as we've charted through some of the examples in the Old Testament of how the Spirit has always been obvious and how the Spirit interacts with humanity as the Spirit shows up again. And Ezekiel writes in his book that the Spirit enters him or alights upon him, or the language is also used to comes and stays for a while. And so we've got these like different ways of describing how the Spirit interacts with humanity. It comes upon, or it fills, or the Spirit, he alights or stays for a while, all from the beginning. And we can chart that through how the Spirit interacts with us as created beings. And while the language differs, and that's important for where we are going, what we can say is similar and consistent is that the Holy Spirit seems to be obvious and ministering for particular plans and purposes. We could say that there is an anointing for an appointing. That people are anointed for an appointed time or purpose or reason. The Spirit fills, comes towards, alights on, comes towards, stays for a while, for a reason, appointment, for a time. But then that seems to shift and change when Jesus comes. The moment of Jesus' baptism and the undoubted connection that is there right back to the beginning, back to Genesis and the hovering Spirit. That's a sermon by itself, all of the connections between these two moments in Scripture. But the person of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, now is not just for a time or a moment, but rather the Spirit is there to remain. We read in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 that the Spirit fills Jesus. Again, language, but talking about the Spirit's action, then leads Jesus into the wilderness, and then subsequently, post-temptation, returns Jesus in the power of the Spirit, and then he goes on to do the work and the mission that God has sent him to do. He then goes in, Jesus then goes into the synagogue and says himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me, and has anointed me for this." The remaining personal presence of the Spirit is now on and in and remaining with Jesus. And so the remaining Spirit both fills and falls upon and enables Jesus to do the work that the Father has sent them to do. And so now the Spirit just doesn't come for a time, but actually now the Spirit remains with and enables Jesus to work. And as we move to the second B this morning, the baptism of the Spirit, we do so now based with Jesus as our example. And what he says and what he does and how he talks about and reveals to us the obvious ministry of the Spirit. Everything Jesus does now as the Messiah and God the Son is anointed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and he is modeling for us, for you and I, life in the Spirit. And we need the Spirit then to become, right the way back to the start, we need the Spirit to become more like Jesus. Holy Spirit is present in our salvation, but in our sanctification, the Spirit's role in making us more like Jesus. And so we need the Spirit then to do what Jesus said in John 14, 12, the greater works than these you will do. That's where it gets quite exciting, isn't it? Jesus goes on then in John chapter 14 when telling the disciples that he is going to leave them. He says in John chapter 14, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. We've talked about that already this morning. Listen to these key words, that he will abide and remain in you forever. The Spirit of truth, he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so just like the Spirit came, resided, dwelt, remained, filled, empowered Jesus, took him to the wilderness, led him out of there, remained with him, so too Jesus' words for you and I this morning is that same Spirit of truth will now be in you, remaining, abiding, and living forever. Do we see how Jesus models that for us and then we then walk into and live in that? We live now, you and I live in the prophetic fulfillment of Jesus' words. If you're a Jesus follower this morning, you are one in whom the Spirit remains and resides and dwells. I think fundamentally that's a game changer in how we even look at one another and interact with one another, how we value one another. In a world that is increasingly driving you apart, that is increasingly polarizing us, the church has the answer. You and I have the same Spirit dwelling in us. We couldn't be any more alike. We couldn't be any more connected. We couldn't have any more love one for the other. And so in a world, in a social media world that sends you algorithms that will push you to corners and send you in directions, the same Spirit that filled Jesus remains and resides in you and in I, and that is a gravitational pull towards each other, one to the other, fellow image bearers, temples of the Holy Spirit, Spirit dwellers. What a way to think of someone. You're a place where the Spirit dwells. If that doesn't change how you think, speak, and act towards one another, I don't know. It's better for you that I will go, for if I do not go, the Helper, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And Jesus keeps his word. Amen. Jesus keeps his word. That's really important. Jesus keeps his word. He always keeps his word. He has done from the beginning. He said, I will come, and he did. He said, I'll send the Spirit, and he did. He said, the Spirit will remain in you, and he does. Holy Spirit always keeps his word. Jesus always keeps his word. Can't do anything else. He can't deny himself. And now we move to the second B, then, the baptism of the Spirit. And we see in Jesus' words in John 14 and John 16 and in Acts 1, he builds the promise of the Spirit, and the Spirit then comes and he tells his disciples, he tells his men, he tells his women to wait in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit is coming to baptize them, or Holy Spirit is coming to fill them. The word in the original is F, which means on or in or beside. Do we see how the language links through? The Holy Spirit is coming to baptize, which can mean in, on, or fill. Different words trying to describe, guys, what is going to happen. And the language is used in a variety of ways to convey the mystery of the Spirit's interaction with the people of God. The Holy Spirit is going to come on, in, over, toward, beside, just like he did for Jesus, and he's going to do so for a purpose. The Holy Spirit will be a powerful presence for a purpose for the church, for the people of God to witness and to continue the work of Jesus. And so the Spirit does come. And I want to say at this point, guys, as we go into this section of the talk, no matter how long, years and years, professors, theologians dedicate to looking at the Spirit and the work of the Spirit, write books, manuscripts, theology, all of this stuff. They're called pneumatologists. Everyone say pneumatologists. There you go. You thought it was something to do with tires and pressure, but it's not. It's about the Spirit, right? Like there are theologians who this is their area of expertise. And do you know what? You'll read all their stuff and you'll still have questions. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because if you understand it, then there's no God. There has to be mystery, doesn't there? Oh, but Gibble, please hear me right. You can come to me afterwards and ask me questions. Absolutely. And I'll do my very best, and we can try to work stuff out, but we'll only ever get to a point. We're never going to understand the mystery of the Spirit of God, the mystery of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three different beings, but yet homoousis, the same substance. I don't even get the word homoousis, never mind what it means, you know what I mean? Sounds like something you dip like celery into, do you know? So the Spirit does come, and the Spirit comes in power. In the original Greek word, the dunamis, there are people meeting in the upper room. They are united, they're in one accord, one place, but the wind comes and the fire falls on each of them. The wind and the fire are obvious signs of God's presence throughout Scripture. This is not new in that sense. We think back to as far back as the Exodus narratives and God showing up in wind and in fire on Mount Sinai. These are God's presence signs. And God here is present through the power now of his Spirit. And these believers in Jesus are now filled or baptized with the Spirit. The Spirit has come upon them and they are changed. They begin to speak with other tongues, languages that were not their own, and others who heard this were amazed at what they were doing. And just like Jesus, the Spirit is now on the church, in the church, filling the church, and remaining with the church. And that's symbolized because each of them has a tongue of fire on them. The fire is not one big pillar that everyone must look to, but the fire now is on every single one. And so the Holy Spirit comes and remains. And Peter then goes on to preach off the back of this. And he explains that what is happening here in this moment in Pentecost is what Joel prophesied would happen. That everyone listening can, should, and does repent and believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so at CFC, we believe, just like Jesus was anointed and filled with the Spirit, just like the early church at Pentecost and throughout Acts was anointed and filled with the Spirit, that we too need to be filled with the Spirit to fulfill God's purpose in and through our lives. We do not believe that this was a one-off act back then, but rather this is an ongoing experience for the church today. And so we do believe in what is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, says this: "I have discovered that the argument concerning the baptism of the Spirit usually comes down to a question of labels. Good medicine, though, may be incorrectly labeled. The Pentecostal experience of God is often better than their explanation of it." Well, I hope that my explanation's not too bad this morning, but so what do we mean by this term, baptism of the Spirit? And John Wimber references that there are arguments about this. Arguments? In the church? No way. Not in the church. So what are some of the issues or questions around this topic? Why would it be contested? Why would it be argued about? Well, I'm going to do this next teaching just through some questions that I've been given or that I've picked up around over the years and been asked even over this last while. Question one, does the Holy Spirit not come into our lives when we become Christians, when we decide to follow Jesus? And is it then like a second experience of Spirit filling or baptism? I'm going to say absolutely God, through the person of his Holy Spirit, comes into our lives and dwells with us when we give our lives to him. But for many, this isn't clear or explained or preached when we come to faith. And so often our understanding of the Spirit is lacking in comparison to our understanding of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and his resurrection. When we become Christians, not that it can't happen at the moment of conversion and salvation and the decision to follow Jesus, it can. You can receive the Spirit's baptism at that point, and I'll explain what I mean by that just now. But often, what happens, it comes after. And we see this in Scripture. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 10, and this is when Peter is preaching to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. We'll start reading in chapter 10 of Acts and verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, and even to us who ate and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking those words, which sounds very much like a gospel message, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the words, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many who came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water now that these should not be baptized who have received the Spirit, just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they asked him to stay a few days. And so we see in Acts chapter 10, when Peter is preaching to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, they come to faith and the Spirit is poured out there and then. Yet, this isn't always the case. Earlier in Acts chapter 8, the apostles head to Samaria because they'd heard that people had come to faith there. And so they head down to Samaria, and we pick up the story in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He says, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." And so in Acts, we see the apostles heading to Samaria because they had people who had come to faith but had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. And now they're prayed on to receive the Holy Spirit. And so both experiences are recorded in Scripture. Both of people who receive salvation and the Spirit at one moment, and those who receive salvation and the Holy Spirit in a different way at a different time. So some are baptized in the Spirit in full at the point of salvation, and for some it can come after. And so many talk about the baptism of the Spirit being a secondary experience. It isn't so much that the Spirit isn't present in their lives, but what I would say is that they're often not fully aware of the part, the person, the presence, and especially the power of the Spirit in them. And so the baptism or filling of the Spirit can also be described then as a relational realization of what the Spirit's power is in them. An awareness, if you like, or an awakening of the power and the person of the Spirit who resides within us. Sometimes that can happen at conversion, but often not, and so it's referred to as a secondary experience. Can it happen at conversion? Absolutely, but it tends not to be the focus of a conversion to Jesus Christ in our context. And so often happens after conversion or further on in a discipleship journey. I don't know if you have ever seen Race Across the World. Any fans of Race Across the World? I love Race Across the World. It's so good. Race Across the World, for those who don't know, it's a set of couples who are given a task and they've got to get from one point of one country to the next checkpoint in another country to the next checkpoint in another country. It's just a series of checkpoints that they've got to get to over the course of 50 days. That sounds quite easy, doesn't it? Except they're no credit cards, no mobile phones, everything's taken from them and all they're given is a map, an old school map, and a GPS tracker that gives them their location and local currency in cash. That's it. And at the start, it's so interesting because they're literally like, how, what are we going, where do we go, what do we do? But there's a moment in the show, there's a moment in each couple's journey that they get to and they realize actually that they can with what's in them. Oh, we actually can do this. There's like this realization of the power that's actually in them, of the gifts that they have, of who God's made them to be. Not that they use that language, but do we see where we're going? You see, often our conversion to Christ starts out with a moment and then we're journeying. And for me, the baptism of the Spirit was like a relational realization of, oh, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in me. The Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus for me is true and real and here. And just like in Race Across the World, it was like a light went on in my life. Was it an experience? Yes. But not like a dopamine hit, not like I'm going looking for an experience. And I'm going to tell this bit cautiously because the danger, so often we talk about this, is that if people don't have this experience, then they feel less than. And so I say this just with caution, but I also think it's important to say how it did happen for me and what happened. Also to demystify some things. So I was just praying with two friends. They were praying I would receive the filling of the Spirit. They're just like me, just mates. Just the two of us in the wee back room of a church hall. And the Spirit came upon me. The Spirit fell on me. Whatever language you want to use around that. I was filled with this joy, this acceptance and this love of the Father's presence with me through the power of His Spirit. I started to laugh. I couldn't stop laughing. I was so joyful. I began to shake a little bit. I could feel something. It also birthed in me a hunger for Scripture. I couldn't put my Bible down. In the book of Colossians in particular, and it's on my desk, my old Bible from that time is still on my desk in there, and you'll see it. If you don't believe me, go up after. You can go into my office. Please leave it tidy as you find it. But you'll see it's underlying nearly everything. I just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And it was a powerful moment. But I do want to say this. My experience of the Spirit and our experience of the Spirit is not just a secondary experience. It also should be a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth experience, because we must never limit the Spirit to showing up this one time back then. And there may be a number of us in this room this morning who can point to a time, but not much since then. Because we can get into danger when we talk about a secondary experience and park it there. But rather, Paul encourages us, and that's why we're a charismatic church, that we are to be serious and seek to be filled with the Spirit as an ongoing experience. Amen. Not just a one-off time to go that date then, but an ongoing experience. To continue being filled, not a static experience at a moment, but an ongoing dynamic experience to continue being filled. It's also super important to note that because we have the Spirit, in us, it doesn't mean that we don't need the Spirit to come on us or fill us more or baptize us again. Whatever language you want to use, the Spirit can be in us but also can come upon us. We can receive more of the Spirit. Always gets risky when you go to a balloon, doesn't it? And so we can say the Spirit fills us. The balloon is filled with air, isn't it? But can the balloon be more filled? Is the balloon filled with air? But can it be more filled? Is there air around the Spirit, around the balloon? Is there air in the balloon? And so we can be filled, but we can be more filled. Oh, am I going to burst it? Oh, that we would be. Because the problem is so often we settle for that. And that's not bad. There's air in there. The Spirit's there. So we can be filled. When we come to Christ, we can be filled, but we can be more filled. Both is true. We can be filled, but we can be more filled. I wonder how many of us are just happy with a one-off filling, and then we just get on with our life. Are you baptized in the Spirit? Yeah. I can tell you when and where, just like I can tell you where then, and they've just left it there. That's why I'm cautious about language of second experience if it limits us to that. Baptism of the Spirit at CFC, we believe, is an ongoing personal relationship developing and being filled with the Spirit. And so can you be baptized in the Spirit today? Absolutely. Can you be filled with the Spirit today? Absolutely. As an ongoing filling of his power and presence. As we move to a close this morning, thank you so, so much for listening so well. I recorded this for the sites just in case the link didn't work this morning. And as I let go of the balloon, it hit me up the face. I'm not joking, it's terrible. So I'm going to hold on to it as I let the air out of it. Does baptism in the Spirit always lead to speaking in tongues? Often, yes, but not exclusively so. Nor does it in any way mean that you are less than in any way spiritually if you do not speak in tongues. We see this in the example that we read in Acts chapter 8. There is no mention of tongues after the laying on of hands and the baptizing of the Spirit. But in Acts 10, it is mentioned. And I do think that something happens when the Spirit fills, baptizes, and moves and comes upon us as disciples of Jesus. Even though tongues aren't mentioned in Acts chapter 8, it does record that Simon was so struck by what was happening that he wanted to pay for the power. So something was happening. And so I want to say that something happens when the Spirit interacts with us. But what I would say in that as well is that it does not always have to be a dramatic dopamine hit of something. But something happens. And that's going to be different for every person, because if we believe that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is like Jesus, then I know that Jesus said this about himself. He said, "I am gentle." And if he is gentle, then so is the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit wants to remove any fear in the room about baptism of the Spirit. And we as a church need to repent if we have been part of creating any fear around the baptism of the Spirit. Because if Jesus is gentle, then so is his Spirit. But when the divine interacts with the human, some things happen. So, is the Spirit present at conversion? We would say yes. Is the baptism of the Spirit a secondary experience? Yes, but not exclusively. We should be being filled with the Spirit as an ongoing condition. Does it happen the same way for everyone? No, as Acts 8 and Acts 10 show us, and indeed in my own experience in church and being around lots of you for a long period of time, it's different for everyone. Is the baptism of the Spirit for everyone? Yes. He is the promised one. The Spirit who filled and anointed Jesus is available and able to do the same thing for us today. Do tongues always follow the baptism of the Spirit? No, but they often do, and it doesn't make you any less than in the kingdom of God if you do not speak in tongues. Do I think you should? Do I think you pursue that? Absolutely, but it doesn't make you less than if it's not something that you are operating in. I think so often we want there to be a formula. We want there to be a narrative. We want there to be a box. We want there to be a control. We want to be able to box it off and say, X plus Y equals XY. Is that right? Yet the Spirit, as Jesus says in John chapter 3, is like the wind. And the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You can't box the baptism of the Spirit in. And as we close this morning, we've looked at the beginning, we've looked at the baptism, now we look at building. The obvious ministry of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is all part of building God's kingdom. The baptism of the Spirit empowers us to action into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, into Belfast, Antrim, Hollywood, Inner East, Cumber. Have I forgot one? South. And the nations, and Ireland. The baptism of the Spirit isn't an experience to chase like some sort of hit. It is to empower us to build God's kingdom here on earth. To give testimony to the witness and life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his power. To continue the Luke 4 declaration of Jesus, of freedom to the captive, of recovery of sight to the blind, of healing of the brokenhearted, of having good news preached to the poor and to declare Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. We need the same Spirit to anoint us, the one that anointed Jesus. And so the baptism of the Spirit opens to us the gifts of the Spirit which build the body of Christ here on earth, his church, and we all get to participate. John Wimber also said everyone gets to play, and about that he couldn't have been more right. The Spirit fills us, a strong, moving, able, mobilized body, active in the gifts of the Spirit to grow the church in these days. Would you stand with me if you're able as the band come forward? Could our prayer ministry team come forward, please, as well? Can I ask our prayer ministry team just to come forward? Thank you. Cafe Church, I think you're staying with us for this as well. So again, your prayer ministry team, please come forward. Going to move into a time of response, and I'm not going to make this build it up, anything like that, any hype around this at all. The band will play a response song, and your response may be to sing this song to God like you've never sung it before. Some of you I know are going to have to go and get kids, and that's grand, but please bring them back in. There's nothing to be afraid of here. What we're simply going to do is ask our prayer ministry team to lay on hands this morning for anyone who wants to receive the baptism of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe it's been a while since you've had someone lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the Spirit. All this morning is an opportunity for a refreshing, for a filling. You can be filled, but you can be more filled. And so right now, before the songs even play, come forward for prayer. Come forward to receive the baptism of the Spirit. I know I am. I've preached on it, but I need it. I think we all do. And for some of you, it's been a long time since you've moved out of your seat. Some of you have never moved out of your seat. Yeah, come. Just come. The same Spirit that filled Christ, who he promised will fill you, just come and receive. Come and receive a freshness, a touch of the Holy Spirit this morning. He is gentle. He's just like Jesus. And he wants to fill us this morning with his power and with his presence. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen.